Good morning. Thanks for coming this early morning. So today I'll go ahead and discuss our study, what we did in 2018 on population dynamics of whitefly in South Georgia. So some of you who have worked on whitefly know it is a pest of cotton and some other vegetables. Mostly in the southeast here, we have a whitefly infestation in cotton in Georgia, Alabama, as well as in Florida. And it is consistently present. Some year it's severe, some year it is not. And damage is caused by both feeding due to adult and nymphs, and adults transmit several different viruses in vegetables. And heavy infestation of whitefly in cotton results in honeydew and accumulation of sooty mold. In Georgia, in 2017 was the worst year in Georgia, so we lost about $200 million worth just because of whitefly. And in Georgia, we have always a crop which supports whitefly. So there is a good reason to work on whitefly in Georgia particularly. And therefore, we set up some objectives, just want to understand the population dynamics over time and space. And along that, we also wanted to look at some key hosts which support other non-crop hosts who are available there. Also, we wanted to look at if there is any other whitefly species. So this is just a map showing our concentrated vegetable production area and cotton production area. So this is concentrated in South Georgia. So keeping that in mind, we developed a trap line in that area extending Vidalia, Georgia on the east side, and Dothan, Alabama, it's just bordering Georgia. So that is our trap line. So this is about 800 miles distance, the entire driving distance. So we did a lot of extensive driving for this project. So for this, we set up some sticky traps, yellow sticky traps, at two different height, six inch and 4.5 feet above ground. And we place them every week, starting from December of 2017, and we have 1 year worth of data on that. And these traps were set up every 5 miles apart. We drive, and whatever we see, we just place the traps in the field margin. And it covers actually our 24 counties in South Georgia. And I just counted, last year we counted about 15,000, over 15,000 cards. And we count all the white flies on both sides of the card. So this is the first set of results showing the temporal distribution of whitefly. And this data is from the low trap. So as I mentioned, we have two traps. So this data is from the low trap. So again, this was the kind of end of the 2017. So we still had some whiteflies in December. But after that, our whitefly population was basically flat. And we got a little spike in April. We were fortunate that we had several frost events that year, so whitefly population didn't build up, that much. So during mid-July, the population started increasing, and we had two peak months of whitefly activities in South Georgia. After that, we had Hurricane Michael hit us there, and the population declined since then. So 2017 wasn't a bad year for us. 2018 was not bad, as we had bad activities in 2017. So during those two peak months, there were several crops which were hit by whiteflies, and we saw some damage in some of those crops. So this was a temporal activities of whiteflies in South Georgia. So we also wanted to look at the spatial abundance. So the entire loop was divided into four sections just for operational purposes. And those four loops were, as indicated by four different colors. But interestingly, what we saw, more activities, as you can see, we got more captures on those two loops, that's indicated by blue and red color here. So those are some of the counties which are heavily cultivated with different vegetables and cotton acres. So definitely we had more activities going on around Tifton area as opposed to the other farther locations. So that gave us a good understanding of where whitefly are more active compared to other areas. Again, that's the area. Also, we want to look at this data from a vegetation perspective. Is there any association between some particular vegetation with the trap number? So, we had 125 traps put along the field margin. So we had different vegetations in those fields, and I just grouped them if there is any crop, or just pull together if there is any similar type of vegetation. For example, pines, oaks, I put together as a weeds. And if there's a grass, pastures, or fallow land, I put them as a grass land. So just a preliminary data here, different vegetations, vegetable, cotton, corn, peanut, woods, grass, and those numbers and parentheses are the number of traps in those particular type of vegetation. And the y-axis, that's the adults per trap. So clearly we saw more whitefly capture in the vegetables. And vegetables were the driving vegetation contributing the whitefly population buildup. And as opposed to that, grasslands were where we caught fewer whiteflies. But it was interesting to me that, corn, peanuts, those were pretty similar with the cotton. You'd expect that cotton would have more whiteflies compared to corn or peanuts. So there is really something going on just other than the vegetation itself. We are going to look at more detail what's happening in those areas. Again, I mentioned that we had two different trap height, low and high. So it was interesting to see that we always caught more whiteflies on the low trap versus the high trap. So you think if whitefly moves, in nature from field to field, you'd capture whiteflies on the, high trap as well. But interestingly, we caught about four times more whiteflies on the low trap as opposed to the high trap. So there is something to think about the whitefly movement ecology or movement biology. So we would explore that opportunity to come up with some other management or implication in our pest management down the road. So I showed you the temporal graph there. We saw some whiteflies in the month of April, and after that we didn't see them. And I thought those were the whiteflies coming out from the spring host. And we went out and looked for this host. What could the potential host which are contributing this emergence? And we looked hard, as you can see, all the experts on the ground there. And finally, we found that that's a different species of whitefly. That is not silverleaf whitefly. And then we later sent the samples to taxonomists, and it was identified as a different species called dewberry whitefly or Tetralurus ursorum. So the adults of this whitefly, as you can see in this picture, the adults look pretty similar with whitefly. And this plant, and we were able to identify what host they are actually, and dewberry is one of those plants. These whiteflies are on that particular plant. So we're excited to see that association, plant insect association. And these whiteflies are pretty similar with dewberry whiteflies are pretty similar with our silverleaf whitefly, except, if you see their pupal stage or the immature stage, then only you can recognize there's a different species. So that could be sometime a confounding factor. So, that was a little complicated when we found that. But all of our data after that, we were able to stay away from those plants, and hopefully those are silverleaf whitefly. And I'm working on, developing some barcodes for these insects and see how we can differentiate silverleaf whitefly and this other whitefly. Similarly, we also saw other diversity. On the trap, when these whiteflies are on your sticky card, it's difficult to distinguish what species it is. So this is silverleaf whitefly, and this is the dewberry whitefly. We also found another whitefly which looked very similar to silverleaf whitefly, but it's a different species we know from this pupal morphology. So we are going to, we don't have an idea on that yet. Similarly, we have some banded wing in Georgia, you know, our Georgia landscape, but we have two other species we found on cars which look very similar to banded wing, but they are potentially could be two other species there, and based on their size and the other morphological characters. So yes, we've found some diversity of whiteflies as well. So with that, I'd like to summarize. In 2018 wasn't a bad year for Georgia. We only had whitefly activities in two peak months of August and September. After that, our population declined. Similarly, our vegetable growers also did not see high infestation or activities of viruses in their crop. That makes sense considering the population. Also, we have seen this increased population in some of these counties which are surrounding Tifton. So those are some vegetable growing areas, for example, Colquitt County and Ben Hill counties. So those are some of the counties where we saw most whitefly activities. Then, although we do not have clear indication of what kind of vegetables are, we have not really dissected the entire data, but seems to be the case where vegetables are more, whiteflies activities are more. And I have observed that we may have a crop or vegetation which is great host for whiteflies, but we may not capture a lot of whiteflies. But on the other hand, if you have a trap, for example, by the corn, you see more whitefly capture. So the case is you have some other vegetations just around the trap which influence more on the trap rather than the overall vegetation. Again, as I showed, there are some other whitefly species, but our overall the whitefly population in South Georgia is Bemisia tabaci, which is silverleaf whitefly. And finding other species is important, also has some potential implication for, virus transmission. So our pathologists may be interested on those because they may also be the carrier of other viral diseases. So our future plan is to mine all this data. So we have, stack of these cards and we can go through those. We also looking at some other parasitoids associated those vegetation, so there's a lot more to look at those data and try to find out if there's any clear indication of association between vegetation and the whitefly capture. Also, we'd like to see if there is any early indication where we can get a sense these are the factors can contribute to the overall whitefly abundance. So that might be able to help us in making some pest management decisions. With that, I would like to acknowledge the lab group. A lot of people helped me in this project, a lot of driving and working in the lab. And, of course, the funding agencies, Cotton Incorporated, funded us, and several other community group, as well as the Georgia State Legislature. With that, I would like to thank you all for coming. And if there's any questions, I would be happy to answer. I probably won't say there was a movement. I think everything was pretty much local because, as I showed, those high and low traps that gave us a kind of sense of a population movement, because those low traps were always on the ground and those were influenced by local vegetations. If had there been any kind of movement, we would have caught a lot of whiteflies on the high traps. So that kind of make me think that there wasn't much movement, from field to field or from location to other location. So all these whiteflies are probably locally built up population.
So you're saying that they're overwintering?
Yes. I think, within some vicinity.
Awesome. Thank you. Time. Thank you.